Oh.
Are you talking to me, John Gruden? Yeah, Gruden. Ray. Sean Payton. Ray. Embarrassing to say. With an I formation and a blood to take the front seven. Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of sentimental, great vibes in our locker room. Everybody, you know, to be a part of winning the first game in history last week and then winning against a great team who's, I think, won 15 or 16 out of 18 on the road at home on Monday Night Football is a great thrill for all of us. We hope we can continue to improve. We think we've got a good young team. And we've got a great stadium. I know that. We've got a great fan base, and they're out in the street proving it. I just hope they wear their masks.
That's good.
This is,
I didn't even say that.
This is Maximum Football, where Super Bowl winning offensive lineman Max Starks joins Doug and Wolf. And there's so many good things with that Gruden. Number one is that weird stat. Try to explain that, John.
15 or 16 out of 18 on the road at home on Monday Night Football.
Now, wait. They've won 15, 16 or so out of 18 on the road at home on Monday Night Football. Okay. And then, of course, he finishes it with,
proving it, I just hope they wear their masks.
That's pretty fantastic from John Gruden. Raiders look good. Saints did not. I don't think anybody's selling on the Saints, are they, Max?
I don't think anybody's selling on the Saints right now, but last night was not a vote of comfort. I think, you know, when you still look at the NFC South, they're still one of the favorites because, you know, you look at what the Atlanta Falcons are and aren't and up and down and what do you expect from them. Carolina Panthers, you just lost CMC, so you can put those rankings down the toilet for at least 4 to 6 weeks while he's out. And so I think, yeah, you're still selling them getting in the playoffs. I don't think you're I don't think I'm selling them for playoff bid, but I'm definitely selling them for a Super Bowl contention.
What did you think of Drew Brees and how he played?
Ooh, I'll give you 42 reasons why. Drew Brees is looking a little bit long in the tooth. I mean, this farewell tour is starting to look like a real farewell tour.
Wow.
But, I mean, it's one of those things. He's already signed his contract for next year for CBS. So, I mean, you know, it's like one foot's in the parking lot already for his retirement, and it looked like it last night. You know, just the accuracy, the zip. Now, granted, you don't have your number one guy, Michael Thomas, who's a cure-all for any type of errant pass because he has a large catch radius, but you still have some pretty good guys there to throw to. Emmanuel Sanders looked like y'all left him in the locker room for most of the game, and y'all just put a dummy out there with his jersey on because he was not involved and wasn't looked at. Alvin Kamara was Alvin Kamara. I think the offensive line played okay for most of the game, but I think you could see Cesar Ruiz, their first-round pick, struggled a little bit being a rookie, and they just didn't look as polished as they did a week ago against another old quarterback and Tom Brady in Tampa Bay. And when you got against, you know, let's face it, you got against another talented team who was motivated to win at home, it showed.
This is Drew Brees after the game, asked about the narrative that his arm is just in serious decline.
My job is to execute the offense, right? And so I think I've always evaluated myself on being a great decision maker. And so at the end of the day, I'm going to throw the ball to the open guy, move the ball down the field, score points, help us win football games. You know, so that's my job. My job's not to have the most air yards or throw the ball down the field the most or anything like that. My job's to help us win. My job's to help put everybody around me in the best position to succeed. And that's all I'm focused on.
Your thoughts on that, Max?
I was going to say, he sounds a little concerned.
Yeah, hey. Let me tell you about why I don't think I'm declining, even though I declined in my game yesterday. And I'll give you the reasons why. Here's a PowerPoint presentation. It's like he almost had it dialed up before the game was even going to end. Okay, what's my response to this question? He was sitting on the sideline instead of looking at the playbook. I'm working on my speech. I think that's one of the things. Is like, if you're a great decision maker, but you're going to throw it to the open guy, shouldn't you hit the open guy if he's open? And you're such a great decision maker. I mean, in my mind, it's like you're finding excuses. But
you
I
know
think
what he looks like,
day,
Max, to me?
Well, what's that?
He looks like Phillip Rivers looked last year.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I'm just saying right now, and we all know at some point in time, Father Time is going to catch up with you, and maybe it's caught up with Drew Brees. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then, I mean, he's not Peyton Manning, though. He's not Peyton Manning in his last year, so he's still better than that.
That was rough. Here's another major NFL topic.
To be 100% transparent, anytime you get injured, it's a horrible thing. You know, you play football to play, not to sit out. And this is part of the game, and it happens. But you know, I don't believe in coincidences. I think everything happens for a reason. I think the biggest thing you can do right now is stay strong and fight through it.
Three just major injuries: Christian McCaffrey. But his is not season-ending. Saquon Barkley, which is season-ending, and Bosa, which is season-ending for the 49ers. And that's just one of many injuries for the San Francisco 49ers. Max, this is the storyline of week two. Do you believe it'll be the storyline of this season?
I think we're going to see more injuries. I mean, that's just kind of where we're at. We're seeing what the toll of time off and no preseason games and no real contact like we're used to. Football's a game of callous.
Yes.
You've got to callous your body. I mean, everybody wanted to crucify John Harbaugh a couple years ago when he made that statement. But now it's coming to fruition. I mean, this is the only sport where you have to have contact to get your body ready,
man,
to play the game. No other sport needs this. No other sport.
It's a little shocking to hear this from you, considering that we would say you're a little more new school than we would like somebody like Wolf.
Yeah, but I mean, but also you have to realize, like, I still came in the time where two-a-days were two-a-days.
Yep.
So I still came from that same school of thought. I was the cusp.
You know what,
right?
Max? You're better qualified than anybody to talk about this very thing.
Because you survived both years.
You did come in. The transformation was happening during your career.
Yeah. Yeah. I got just as much time on both sides, and that's the thing. I mean, and I can see it and give that perspective because that's just what it is. And that's why we see the amount of soft tissue injuries. Once we signed old CBA now, but that CBA 2011, and it changed the way that we approach training camp, the way that we approach training time, that was the moment where things changed. And that was also the moment where we saw a prevalence in soft tissue injuries that crept in at the beginning of the year that led to season-ending injuries early on in the season for a lot of players.
Can the Arizona Cardinals focus on going 3-0 when the rest of us are focused on 5-0? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. We bring in special guests just to talk hardcore football here on the Doug and Wolf Show. Tuesdays, it's Maximum Football with Super Bowl winner Max Starks. And former Cardinal Lorenzo Alexander joins us every Thursday here on the Doug and Wolf Show. And you've had some years, Max, in the NFL where you knew you had something special. You had a good team, and we've talked about it, although it's painful for us, that you've got two Super Bowl championships. So you know, is this what you need to hear from a coaching staff when you've won your first two games?
We have great leaders, and you could tell coming into that locker room that nobody was satisfied with how we played, and know that we have a long way to go, and we got to work hard to get better in a short time. We have a great Detroit team coming in here who's had leads the last couple games and had some tough losses, but they're as talented as anybody, and our team understands that. And that's what's fun about being around this group is they are mature and they have an edge, and they're ready to get back to work.
Cardinals have three games in a row, Max, where they on paper are the better team than all three of their opponents. What does it take to go 3-0 before you worry about 5-0?
I think it's everything. I think, you know, it's he had a more eloquent, Cliff Kingsbury had a more eloquent way of saying we're on to Detroit. I mean, that's essentially what it is. Don't overlook the people in front of you. You know, even though the paper looks good, we're still in the middle of a global pandemic, right? You could get a positive test that could wreck your week at any moment. You have injuries. Like we saw San Francisco is a cautionary tale for the rest of the league. As good as you think you are, things can turn south really quick. In a game that you thought was going to be an easy victory on paper against the Jets, it ended up looking like a bloodbath by the time you were done with it. And so that's what you have to be mindful of. You have to be mindful of the day. You have to be mindful of the opponent for that week. You can't start crossing things off the checklist until you do the other things. It's the reason why it's numbered, right? I can't go 1-7 and cross off number 7 because it got done because it happened to happen on the way. No, it has to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 before you get there. And I think that's the approach you have to take, because at any point, what if things do shut down? What if things do get too bad? You know, there is a stoppage. There is a pause. There's a break. There's a delay. You have to make sure you can't sit there and propose anything. So you got to be mindful of the task at hand at the current time.
There were two things I really liked about the Arizona Cardinals in their victory over Washington last week, Max. Number one was the fact they came out and they played better than Washington in that first half in all three phases, offensively, defensively, and in transition as well. They established themselves as a better team at halftime. It was 20-0, right? I love the fact they came out and they did that. The second thing I loved was just over 6 minutes to go, where they got the ball and Washington was making a little bit of noise, and suddenly they took the ball and they ended the game. They finished the game running the ball in particular. And I think running the ball against the Lions is going to be key. Did you look at the Lions' defense? Have you noticed their Achilles heel? Just how bad they are in terms of stopping the run. They're dead last in the league in yards per game allowed and yards per play allowed on the ground. Dead last. 32-32. I think this is going to be the key for the Arizona Cardinals to win this game. Run the ball.
Well, and also, I mean, they're also 30th in points given up. I mean, that's another one. So they're at the bottom of the league, and the most valuable metrics on defense is we can't stop the run and we let everybody score. So I think it's going to be paramount that you keep the ground game intact. I mean, because right now, as a team, you're the fifth team in the league in rushing. That needs to continue to be the trend. The balance has to be there for the Cardinals to keep going. And also, it motivates, let's face it, it motivates your offensive line. If I know that I don't have to drop back every single time, that I get to go forward instead of going backwards, and my coach trusts me to do that, that's a huge incentive boost for those guys up front, because it knows I can go exact revenge. I don't have to sit back and take it or play mirror dodge against the guy in front of me and let him dictate what I need to do. I get to go out and I get to put the exclamation point at the end of the sentence every once in a while. And that's how you keep the rest of your offense intact and happy and moving, because big guys want to smash people. We don't want to sit back and play patty cake. And that's how it is. I mean, come on, Ron. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I do. Yes. Yeah,
exactly. So sometimes you got to fire the cannon. You can't just always load it. Okay? Sometimes you got to light that wick and let it go and see where the ball lands.
You're talking about guys that have belly buttons that are as big as crock pots. I understand.
That's right.
You know, and listening to you guys, even though we're talking about, hey, focus on 3-0 on the way to 5-0, I just listening to both of you talk about the Lions, it just made me think. You have two of the worst defenses in football right now, coached by guys that got their jobs from as defensive coordinators, and Dan Quinn and Matt Patricia. I mean, Atlanta is a sieve defensively. Matt Ryan could be MVP of an 0-16 team. the offense is unbelievable for the Falcons right now, and they can't beat anybody. And then you just mentioned, Matt, this defense for the Lions is this bad against the run, and yet they've got a defensive head coach. There's no way these two men survive this season if they don't turn it around. And I mean, go 5-1 in their next 6 weeks or something like that. How can you stay behind these guys?
It's a tough situation, especially when you think of defensive-minded coaches, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the thing. That was their calling cards,
yes.
And that's been the worst part of both of these teams. And, I mean, and just to even look at the Lions, I mean, the last 9 head coaches that were fired from the Lions – only one had a winning record when he got fired, and had a winning record when he got fired. Everybody else looked like Matt Patricia, all the previous head coaches, and Jim Caldwell can't find a job.
Yes,
and he had them rolling the best that they could be the last times they were in the playoffs, the last two times, and they ended their last winning season was his last season there. I called that last game.
Yeah.
Now, you just need to go call him back. Like, hey, Jim, we're sorry.
Yep.
You know, it was a lapse in judgment. My bad. Come on back. We need you in the D.
That's good.
So I'm going to ask you a rhetorical question for the most part. If, in fact, the Arizona Cardinals want to win the next 3 games and get to 5-0, what's the best way to go about doing that?
Balance. Balance is key. You can't get enamored with one way or another. I think what Cliff Kingsbury has adopted, let's take it back from the first 5 weeks of last year to where we're at today and what this offense looks like, it's where it should be. It should not have been a 10 personnel. We're going to just spread it out and run, you know, Texas Tech fly ball.
Right.
And run zone spread all day. It needs to be a balance because the NFL is different from college. That run game is key. That run game sets the pace for the race, and you have to have a solid run game, and run games have to have what we call in football the tight ends and the fullbacks.
Yes.
You've got to have some formation and some amalgamation of that. You've got to have 12 and 21 personnel in there to make it a really good team. All of your best teams, when you look at the last Super Bowl teams of the last 5 contests, they've all had solid fullbacks and tight ends, or 2 tight ends that were really good and that could run the H-back position. You have to have that for balance. And I think Cliff Kingsbury sees that, identifies that, and he's utilizing that to still give his flair, right? You still get those fly patterns and those streak routes by Andy Isabella to stretch the field and do what you want. You can still line up with 4 or 5 wides as a changeup, but it can't be your base offense.
Correct.
And I think he's realizing that, and that's why the Cardinals are looking so successful this year, is because they understand that as an entire coaching staff, and they're utilizing it. And guess what? It takes time off the clock, which lets your defense rest. So then your defense, you can take the chains off and let them run.
What's interesting, though, is – the normal phrase of balance, or if we're using big words like Max, amalgamation, is the fact that you run and then you pass, and you run and then you pass, and then that's balance. The Cardinals don't do that. They end up with balance when the game is over, but they're imbalanced in each half. So far, what they've done is get a lead by tiring you out with the horizontal passing game, and it's pass, pass, pass in the first half, and then in the second half, it's run, run, run for the most part. Does that still give you the balance that you are looking for, Max?
It does, because, I mean, you know, one of the things I've learned from being under Bruce Arians, the horizontal pass game is your pseudo-run game, right, in a lot of situations, but it keeps people guessing. If you can line up in a formation that's going to put people in man-to-man situations, that's the better win when you have the receiving core that you have. If you got a guy that's in the slot that you know is faster than the guy covering him and he give him a 5-yard cushion, or I can go run into this defensive line which has some really big, strong guys in the middle, I'm going to take the quick short pass to the outside and get those 4 or 5 yards. And guess what? You still have to stay on the field. And when we get 3rd and short, I'm not going to get predictable and line up and give you a 9-man box and expect me to try and just bludgeon myself into it when I can just throw a quick little in route or a quick slant and get the first down. And now you're tired. Now you got to switch fat guys running off the field to get small guys back in and everything else. That's all in the concept. And then in the second half, when I know you're blowed and we got a lead, I'm just going to ram it at you. I'm just going to continue to pound the nail with the hammer, and I'm going to make you quit. And that's how you get to that. Balance doesn't have to be, oh, my gosh, run pass, run pass. Let's make sure the list looks right. It's about the whole totality of the game. When you come out of it, this is how we systematically beat you down, and we did it by having some good run and some good pass. And let's face it, Kyler Murray's scrambles are a threat always. It's RPO. Every time he moves outside that pocket, is RPO.
When we say Cardinals 30, Washington 15, what does Max say? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Another week, if you're feeling a little nervous about the continuance of NFL football. The NFL and the NFL Players Association announces that during the week of September 13th through the 19th, so basically last week, 36,000 tests administered, 14,000 tests to the 2,438 players, 14,074 COVID-19 tests, zero confirmed positive results.
All right, Dudley. Here we go, baby. Oh, that is awesome, man.
It's a big deal because for people like me, I've never had a doubt week one was going to go off. But how do you get from traveling across the country and now leading into week two when, Max, don't you want to go out to dinner after your big win if you're at home? Don't you want to spend your Monday night if you have a Tuesday off? All of those things. There's so many things that you just, hey, we just got through training camp. Can I just go get a beer here? And after all of week one and looking at everything week two, 14,000 tests, zero positive.
No, I mean, it's truly a milestone. You know, I was on my college show last night, and we were just talking about how for a team in college to get to game day, because college is still having issues, right? You still have the issues at some of these schools that are playing Power 5 conferences. They don't have the same testing protocols. Conference to conference, you're still worrying. The SEC, we're trying to figure out if seven games are going to get played this weekend and opening weekend because of Mizzou and what Eli Drinkwitz is having to deal with 12 key players missing. You know, to have the NFL here and have a standard protocol for all 32 teams and for everybody to be following those protocols to lead to this point so that you can play the game every week is tremendous. And every week, it has its own challenges as the world changes. And for them to still be consistent and still have everybody intact and available to play is a huge milestone that should be celebrated because it's not that way for everybody else. And we're seeing that with college. I mean, just think about where we were from August 11th to now. And now Big Ten is figuring out how to play. Pac-12 is figuring out how to play. All Mountain West is figuring out how to play. And they can't start till around Halloween. And the NFL has just been steady in the course to keep the standard bearing proper for everybody else and to keep the game going. So, yes, it's a huge milestone and something that should be celebrated every week when we have numbers like that.
Max, one of my big takeaways after 2 weeks of the season for the Arizona Cardinals is just the fact that they're playing up to their potential, playing up to their talent, and not playing up or down to anyone else's talent. Hey, listen, going to San Francisco, you know it's easy to get up for the 49ers. You know it's easy to get up for that. But what about when you're actually at home and you're playing Washington? You know what? They took care of business for the most part. And because of that, I respect their 2-0 start. What's your biggest takeaways when you look at the Cardinals through the prism of the Washington game? What's your biggest takeaway so far after 2 weeks?
Well, I think they got to see also, you know, in game film review that Washington couldn't be taken lightly because Washington also came in. Let's not forget, coming into this game, Washington was first place in the NFC East. Everybody else in that division faltered, and they rose to the occasion, down 17 points, and to charge back to a victory.
Yeah.
That takes big C.O. Joneses. on their part. So I think when you look at, you had to come into this game and say, These guys can play from down. So even though we're up 20-0, these guys came back from 17 down against a decent Philly team and won that game, and we're in first place for their division. So we have to come in and play this. So you can't play down to those expectations. They knew what they had. Chase Young, I don't care what anybody tells me, that kid was pissed. He was, he was a number two draft pick, and he wants to go and prove that he's better than Joe Burrow. And so, and you're playing against the year before his number one overall pick at quarterback position. So he was going to come with his game ready. And so I think that was something that you have to remember. This Washington defense has a lot of studs on it, and the offensive line did their job against them. So It's very important. You can't play down to that level. And I think they're starting to realize we have to keep our own standard and rise to our occasion and play to what we're capable of. And if we play to our capabilities, good things will happen. And that's what they're doing. They're approaching this, looking at it in a very systematic way.
Max, rank your Washington victory takeaways. Because for me, it's exactly what you guys just talked about. Performance of Devondre Campbell. I'll go O-line number four. And I can't stand going forward on fourth down. Okay? Where are you at when you watch that game?
My key takeaway, first thing is, I like to call it hop legs. That's what I've termed it. DeAndre Hopkins gets a passing touchdown. Kyler Murray gets rushing touchdowns. He uses his legs.
Okay.
See, hop legs. Get it?
Yes.
I did need the explanation, I admit.
Yeah, no. But I think that's the first thing. Angelo Blackson, I love this kid. Pickup of him in the middle paired with Jordan Phillips – they are starting to right the wrongs of yesteryear.
Just when you're coming off the field, don't slow down at the numbers. Wait till you get off the field, then slow down.
Yeah. But I think the run defense is something that I've been excited about. And the pressure that they're creating up the middle of opposing offenses, that's been another thing. And then offensive line play is still very, very at the front of my mind and very important to me. I'm so happy it's there. And then I think also it's just, special teams, Zane Gonzalez, that leg's looking good. We've talked about this over the years about kickers here in Arizona and special teams, in the Amos effect. Okay.
Oh,
I didn't want to say that. He was my coach. I can't say that.
You can't. Amos,
the during and post. Special teams blunders in the past, and Andy Lee was our MVP. Zane Gonzalez might actually compete for special teams MVP this year, the way he's kicking. So I just think those are probably my main takeaways, and everything looks holistic for the Cardinals. One area of this team is not really carrying the other. They all balance each other out, and I think that's what also makes us good. When you talk about all three phases actually being in sync and helping each other and complimenting each other, that's what this Cardinals team looks like for me so far this year.
So you're seeing the amalgamation you're looking for.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Okay. And the transmutation. Throw that in there, too.
Max, love it, brother.
Max, we got to say goodbye. Join us Tuesday, my friend.
All right, guys. Y'all have a great rest of your week.
Okay,
absolutely.
Max.
There's Max Starks. That's Maximum Football for an hour of talking ball with Max Starks from 8:45 to 9:45 on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line, your family-owned and operated dealership for Cadillac, Buick, GMC, Nissan, and Infiniti. Coming up next, Paul's Call takes over Tuesdays on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Paul's Call is brought to you by Brooklyn Bedding. For the best sleep ever, go to brooklynbedding.com.
Hey, it's your call, man.
Oh, no.
It's your call.
No, it's your call.
Hey, nitwits, it's Paul's call.
And here we are, Paulie Hammenegger, making Tuesday the most productive day of the week.
Get her done.
That's what studies say, while stinking Jay Feely, Doug, he's out golfing on a Tuesday.
And I never slice.
See, that's the undeniable difference between a network sideline guy and a local loser.
Phoenix took us off for a couple days, put on a couple local meatballs.
I still can't believe that the herd called Burnsy a local meatball.
You're a local meatball.
Speaking of network TV, we're going to do to Jay Feely what Fox did to Carson Wentz. Pump in the booing at home.
Wentz, too tall for Zach Ertz. And now fourth down, bring the punt team back on for the Eagles. John Johnson out there in the coverage.
That's a home game with no fans. The Eagles QB struggling at home against the Rams. And the Fox TV truck was Ram tough on Wentz. No fans, but they pipe in the Philly Boobirds after a pick in the end zone, and then after a failed third down throw here.
And now fourth down, bring the punt team back on for the Eagles. John Johnson out there in the coverage.
It's pretty rough. I mean, I know there's a realistic rendition to the game, but, you know, apparently doesn't matter if you're a $100 million quarterback. If you're going to Philly, you better pack the sawed-off shotgun of sports.
Oh.
Sports takes, and because it can always get worse, a Doug Peterson rip job in Wentz's direction.
Just missing. I guess you could point to a lot of different things. Missing OTAs, not having all the maybe reps during training camp, missing preseason games, whatever it might be, the timing of things that we do in the passing game.
So the head coach and play caller busting out his own firearm.
Personal flamethrower.
This thing and is right, a 25-foot range.
And rightfully so, Paul.
Well, some tough love in the city of brotherly love. From the coach to the quarterback.
Just missing these throws. They're throws that, you know, he typically would throw, and then it's a little bit too on the receiver. Sometimes the receivers need to, make the catch as well. So it's things that we got to continue to work.
For the first time in Wentz's five-year career, he's thrown multiple picks in consecutive games.
Disappointed!
And the media wants to know why. Why has Wentz regressed?
You know, it's a good question. His demeanor is he wants to do everything right, and we've given him control to do that, and but we just got to continue to work to get better. And I don't think anybody can totally master the sport. You're constantly learning and getting better, and that's what we got to do and continue to coach that.
Allow us to step in and translate here. Thank you.
He stinks right now, Paul.
I'm not going to lie, Doug. The Cardinals are 2-0. Teams like the Eagles are 0-2, and I mean, come on, we're like De Niro in Cape Fear, right? Right? Sitting back in our easy chair, chomping on a cigar, reveling, relishing. Oh, the cliches we used to hear.
Those guys in that locker room are mad. They're upset that we're 0-2 and in this position. But nobody's gonna feel sorry for the Philadelphia Eagles or feel sorry for me. Yep. And I'm gonna come here every day and take your questions, and you may not like the answers, but I don't care, quite frankly. And what I care about is our team.
Play the Bobby D again, Bob. I mean, just play.
You can't take requests in Paul's call.
Honestly, just play Bobby D.
When I'm at Casa Calvisi, I'm not even pushing the stinking button. So, you know what? That's not on me. So, Wolf, there you go. How's
just
that taste?
I love that.
Look, for you, Wolf, you know it's a bad team when you're having players-only meetings, right?
Yes.
For a media guy, we know it's a bad team when the head coach says, nobody's going to feel sorry for us.
Yes.
Fill in the blank. That's when you know. And by the way, you know you have a bad team when you can't stop the run, and the Jim Schwartz run defense just got gashed for 191 yards rushing by no-name Rams running backs.
That's terrible.
That is horrendous.
Yes, it is.
Thank you, guys.
So, I missed him, Captain.
So, Doug, we've got the Cardinals at 5-0, and now let's just go ahead. We're going to mark Philly down for another win in Week 15 at home as, sorry, Eagles, you can go stand next to Mad Bum.
2020 sucks. Right. I'm pretty much on board with that now.
Yeah,
not a big fan of it.
Better get used to that. Actually, we're going to go one better here and forecast the future. We're going to look into our crystal football.
What's your prediction for the fight, then?
Prediction?
Yes, prediction.
Pain.
Pauly prediction, says Clubber Lang, that before Halloween, the Eagles will usher in the Jalen Hurts era as the second-round rookie quarterback was active for the first time on Sunday.
You know what that means? Probably something.
Absolutely. I mean, he was on the field for three plays, just like you-know-who.
Mandatory.
Lebler. Oh. And another prediction after what the Raiders did last night.
Beat the Saints!
Yay!
Sean Payton will bench Drew Brees and give way to the now highly paid Taysom Hill era. Yep. Future of football.
I don't think so on that one, Paul.
You have or have not. And Doug, we saw it.
That's huge guts. That's...
Someone asked it. Drew Brees about the elephant in the press room. a media guy did ask about the arm strength or lack thereof. Drew, your declining arm talent?
I've always evaluated myself on being a great decision maker. At the end of the day, I'm going to throw the ball to the open guy, move the ball down the field, score points, help us win football games. You know, so that's my job. My job's not to have the most air yards or throw the ball down the field the most. My job's to help us win.
Well, let's see. End of the day, Wolf, if defenses don't have to worry about his legs and they don't have to respect deep shots or chunk throws, can you win?
Drew Brees!
No.
And by the way, I've come to the decision. I don't enjoy somebody losing more than watching the commissioner Sean Payton, you know, on Monday Night Football. And
really?
You know, they get off to the 10-0 start, and his chest is out, and he's feeling himself and smelling himself, and then all of a sudden the Raiders come back and beat down the commissioner Sean Payton. For some reason, I just enjoy watching the Saints lose these days, maybe more than any other team. Anybody with me on that?
Do you think he's gotten a little haughty, Paul? Is that what you're saying?
A little big for the New Orleans britches.
You might be right, but, man, I enjoy his arrogance. I don't know why. Other people, I don't. I enjoy his.
Big finish.
Wrap it up, Paul.
It's time for another
edition. Like now.
I'll be gall dang.
The best thing to happen in Arizona with this pandemic, Doug isn't terrorizing our commute. But in the D, we've got a Doug dude factor.
The driver is arrested after jumping his car over a rising drawbridge on Detroit's west side.
I've never done that.
You heard that right.
I'll be gall dang.
We've got a dude in Detroit going Nicolas Cage in his Eleanor Mustang.
Dude.
A reporter on the scene, live, local, late-breaking.
As a driver fancies himself as a bit of a daredevil.
Now look, that's a moldy ain't.
Best bridge operator Andre says he couldn't believe his eyes.
The drawbridge operator had the gates down, and he sees this guy hard charging. He's like, no, he ain't. Yes, he did, as here comes the 26-year-old driver. Busting right through the gate, going all Bo and Luke Duke.
You can see his white car was smashed. Prosecutors say Gomez drove through the bridge's security gate at a high rate of speed, went airborne, and landed on the other side of the bridge.
See, instead of the generally stunt car, though, our dude was driving a 4-cylinder Dodge Neon compact
car.
No
way.
The closest he got to being them there Duke boys was on the police scanner. I
Detroit police putting out the unusual call this evening.
Actually, he took the hazard across the bay across.
Blew out all four of his tires, and then he crashed through the other gate over there.
Come on, man.
Upon impact on the other side of the drawbridge, all four tires blew out. And he skidded into a guardrail.
Dude.
How is that guy alive? You talk about risk reward going for it on fourth down, bro.
Right. I mean, he went for it all right on the drawbridge. Back to the bridge operator said it reminded him of.
I called it the Blues Brothers.
They're not going to catch us. We're on a mission from God.
That's a first for me. That's a first for me.
It's true. The Bluesmobile in Chicago did jump the drawbridge. So the driver's been charged with reckless driving and malicious destruction of property and is now destroyed Dodge Neon.
I'm Duke Boys. I got him this time.
The only thing missing, though, is the bridge security cam video to go viral.
Rest assured, we're searching high and low for the surveillance tape. That's the scene with a night cam.
Thank you, Bob Blowdry, on the scene, so you don't have to.
I'll be golden.
So there you go.
Dodge Neon.
That's Paul's call.
Thank you, Paul.
How did the show make you feel?
Woo! Feel airborne by Neon.
Doug and Wolf's.
It's all about the you. It's all about
the you. Brought to you by Carol Royce with Keller Williams Realty East Valley. Looking to buy a nice home and can't find one? Go to OurNiceHomes.com. That's OurNiceHomes.com.
Of course, Paul, do you remember some of the jumps that Kit would make whenever Michael Knight pushed Turbo Boost? I mean, those were some legendary jumps, even better than the Duke boys.
Come on now, gone in 60 seconds, top five on anyone's all-time movie list.
All right, Basonians, Justin Herbert found out he was starting 6 seconds before they kicked the ball off. Peace and strife.